You're listening to WBH Radio. My name is William Holly. It is our first time airing on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Special thanks to everybody over there, all of the shows, audience members. I appreciate you letting me be a part of this. I am truly excited. Yo, a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. March 14th, I will be celebrating my 33rd birthday. I had the privilege of playing NCAA basketball in New York City. I am also a U.S. Army veteran, having deployed to Iraq in 2005. I've worked in professional sports with the New York Rangers and the New York Yankees. And, you know, and this show was just about us having some fun, drawing on some of my experiences and my perspectives to point out what we like and dislike in sports, you know, have a little bit of fun. You could catch me on Twitter at WBH Radio. We got the YouTube channel of the same name. Check out some of the past episodes. We had the great Aaron Judge on one of our episodes. You never know who might stop by our show. Again, special shout out to 12 Ounce Sports Radio. Thanks for having us. But yo, enough with the pleasantries. The story in New York City right now is New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham found himself in a precarious situation recently. A video came out with him in a hotel room with a young lady, some pepperoni pizza, and what appeared to be cocaine and a brown cigarette, which many believe is a marijuana joint. Yo, America, we gonna have to figure out how we feel about marijuana. I'm going to need y'all to get this together. In this country, we got two states, Colorado and California, where weed is legal. And more of them to come. And the rest of the states are still wagging their finger at marijuana like, nah, 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 that's no good. Yo, which one is it? We got people, young marijuana entrepreneurs, making millions of dollars legally off of weed. Yet we still got some people serving 10, 15, 20 years in prison for weed. The inconsistency on how we feel about marijuana is frustrating and embarrassing, honestly. So Odell Beckham Jr., if you think he had a weed cigarette, okay, let me ask you, has he ever failed a drug test? Nope. So you put these tests in front of him and he's passed with flying colors? Then, yo, you got no choice but to take the man at his word. He said it ain't weed, then it ain't weed. Your test, your drug test, you guys issue random drug tests and he's passed all of them? You just got to clap your hands and say, you know what? We got to believe him. And if it is weed, then you got to tip your cap and say, hey, he got over. But you can't put these tests in front of him. He knock it out. And then I still want to say, nah, nah, he must be doing drugs. He passed your test. It's like when you ever see a guy go to trial and they say, yo, take the lie detector test. And the guy's like, no, for what? There's no advantage to it. If I fail, y'all going to say I'm guilty. And if I pass, y'all going to say, oh, he must have found a way to trick the system. No, there's nothing to gain. But I'm getting a kick out of watching the media say, yo, what should the Giants do with Odell Beckham Jr.? They're going to do exactly what they did when they found out their kicker had domestic violence issues. They're going to keep him. Yo, in sports, not even just in sports, in life, your talents dictates how much they will tolerate from you. And when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr. and the position of wide receiver, there are none more talented than him. None. But America, all in all, man, this selective outcry over this drug of marijuana is dangerous to me. People picking and choosing who to come down on. Selective justice is scary, son. Take it from a man from Brooklyn, the inner cities, the hood, whatever you want to call it. Giving people the authority to pick and choose who they crucify and for what crimes, that's a dangerous place. Okay, Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr was recently recovering from back surgery. He was having a hard time. In fact, he couldn't even sit in NBA arenas. He was going through so much pain. You know what he said? He said, yo, during my rehab, I tried marijuana. That story went on without a hiccup. Oh, that's just Steve Kerr. He tried a little weed. Okay. Hold on, what? Somebody in a leadership position, somebody in a front office position, tried weed and there was no issue? And now Odell Beckham is caught with something we believe is weed. We don't even know for sure. And that leads the evening news? Nah, man. Where they do that at? Again, the hypocrisy is scary. And yo, NFL, y'all got such a stance against marijuana. But I've seen the great rap artist Wiz Khalifa, one of my favorites. I've seen him perform at the Pittsburgh Steelers, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow. And Wiz is an avid drug user, avid marijuana user. So you pick and choose who's okay to be around the game? Y'all didn't keep Wiz out the stadium. The same with ESPN. They want to come down. Oh, my God. They want to talk about how bad it is for him to be pictured. Again, we don't even know if it's marijuana. Just speculation. But in that same breath, they'll say, coming next week to ESPN, Snoop Doggy Dogg. Really, y'all? Really? Snoop, a former gangbanger, catch him smoking weed everywhere. But we want to crucify Odell. He never pissed hot. We just running off speculation. That's crazy. And yo, NFL, America, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but yo, every study, I'm not the most studious dude, I must admit. But every study I've ever seen shows alcohol has more adverse effects than weed. Yet every billboard in a stadium or commercial during a broadcast is relating to beer and alcohol. So, yo, America, we got to get on the same page when it comes to this marijuana, man. And again, I say all of this, and we don't even know if it was weed in that thing. And let's address the cocaine. If you saw the video, the cocaine was actually in the possession of the young lady. Now, I've driven limos in New York City for a long time. I swear, within my first week of driving limos, I was offered cocaine from all types of people. CEOs, actors, athletes. It's rampant. So because he was in the presence of somebody doing coke, doesn't mean he's doing it. And I'm going to let you in on something. Every time you see these guys at award shows, the Oscars, Grammys, or any of these places, when they go to those after parties, people are doing that stuff. So because he was in the presence of it, it's not okay to jump the gun and say, yo, he must have partaken in activities as well. No, that's not fair. That's not fair. And yo, last but not least on this topic. Yo, I know this is not a visual medium, but I am a heavily tattooed young man. And somebody pointed out on Twitter that the video must have been old, because when you see Odell's hand, his kind of like his wrist area, it's missing tattoos. So that same area that was exposed in 2016, he covered it up with tattoos. Now, again, this is just a Twitter user's observation, but I kind of see it too. So when I put that coupled with Odell Beckham's Twitter response, which was along the lines of, I guess old news is still a story, or something of that nature. I got to consider that as old as well. I got to consider that. But yo, Odell Beckham's not going anywhere. Was it dumb for him to get caught recorded by a model he just met? Absolutely. Is it fair for the New York Giants to use this video at the negotiating table? Absolutely. But it's not enough cause to get him out of here or ship him to a different city. The embarrassment should just be enough punishment. You got caught by an IG model slipping. You got to be sharper than that, OBJ. Got to be sharper than that. You're listening here to WBH Radio. We are on 12 Ounce Sports Radio today. Appreciate everybody that's out there. Last week, the NFL wrapped up its combine. So it's a couple of days of guys running and jumping and lifting weights. And NFL franchises still not knowing who to pick. But every year some stories come out about some of the questions the NFL prospects were asked while meeting with the teams. And this year, former LSU athlete Darius Geis said he was asked two questions. One was, do you like men? And the other was, does your mom sell herself? Let's put do you like men to the side for a while. We'll get back to that. But does your mom sell herself? Yo, if I'm about to hand someone millions of dollars, I want to know everything about them. I'm sorry, that's me. In fact, yo, can we get your family in here? Can we get your mother, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend? Can we get the dog in here? Yo, TSA, can we get a cavity search done on this individual? When you are getting ready to hand somebody over millions of dollars in salary, I got no problem with organizations asking tough questions. I have no problem at all. And not only am I handing you millions of dollars in salary, but when you put on our team's uniform, you now hold a portion of our franchise's value. Case in point, when the Indiana Pacers had that brawl in Detroit, the Malice in the Palace, when Ron Artest and Steven Jackson and Jermaine O'Neal, these guys climbed in the stands and were fighting fans. You know, it was a huge black eye for the league, huge black eye for the Pacers and the Pistons. The Pacers end up paying for that well beyond whatever fines were passed down from the league. Indiana Pacers fans stopped showing up to the arena. Season ticket holders didn't renew at the same clip. Jerseys weren't sold. Fans like, yo, I don't want that. I don't want to be associated with those thugs. And this was a stigma that followed the team even after Ron Artest was gone, even after Steven Jackson was gone. So it is imperative that you know who these individuals are. They represent the whole organization. They carry the team's value. You know, your other teammates are counting on you. The sponsors are counting on you. Freaking Bob from accounting is counting on you. Professional sports is big business. If organizations want to go in there and ask tough, uncomfortable questions, I have no issue with it. It wasn't just the Indiana Pacers, but the Portland Trailblazers experienced something along the same lines. You remember when the Portland Trailblazers had a rough bunch of players up there? Zach Randolph, Damian Stoudemire. And they got the nickname the Jailblazers. You know how much money you got to invest in PR and making the fans feel comfortable again to remove that stigma from your team? And in fact, it never gets removed. So before you hand over your salary, before you hand over the keys to your franchise, to these players, you want to know who they are. You want to know who they are. And if that equals tough questions, so be it. The questions are a necessary evil, man. Fans, y'all get upset when that ends up with teams end up with wife beaters and criminals on the field. Well, this is the NFL trying to purge its ranks of these type of characters. You know, the outrage with these questions, I think it's an example of fans getting to see how the sausage is made and being unhappy. You know, my grandparents, they're from North Carolina. And my aunt, she told me a story. Growing up, she used to love chopped barbecue, the chopped barbecue sandwich. But when she saw them catch the pig, kill the pig, cook the pig, she said, oh, no, I had enough of that. I don't want any more of that. So fans, understand, to get to that product on the field, it's a tough process. It's a rigorous process, and it's not always easy. And, you know, I don't even think it's about the answer with these questions. I think organizations just want to see how these young men react. And not only react, but how they handle tough situations, how they handle pressure, how they handle uncomfortable questions. Because there's going to be a time this young man is somewhere in front of fans, in front of sponsors, in front of media, and he might be asked an uncomfortable question. And you want to know how he's going to handle it. So, yo, I got no problem with it at all. As for the question about sexuality, look, it's not the greatest. You know, they asked him, does he like guys? Is it ideal? No, but I understand. Remember, our beloved U.S. military is just coming around on LGBT rights. They were slow to the party. And like the military, these professional locker rooms are unique working environments. It's not like your local office building. It would behoove an NFL general manager, an organization, to be aware of such things as their player's sexuality. I'm not willing to call someone homophobic or disrespectful because they asked that question. Like the military, professional sports, sometimes these guys, you're with them more than your own family. You travel with them, you got shower, you on the road. It's imperative to know each and everything about these guys and also how that dynamic would work with your locker room. ESPN has this series called 30 for 30 when they go back in time and they get the facts about an older story, what may have not came out then. We get to see what really took place. And in these locker rooms, we may have thought the guy was just performing badly, but we then learn, oh, his kids were sick, or he was battling drug addiction, or him and his teammates fell out over a girl. Even with the Gilbert Arenas situation, when he brought guns to the locker room, we eventually found out that happened over a card game. So the dynamic in there is bigger than sports. So asking about sexuality, would that work down at Office Max? No. But I believe in professional sports, it may be necessary. Yo, Cowboys wide receiver Dez Bryant was a victim or he had to respond to one of those tough questions when he came through the draft process in 2010. Now, Dez Bryant, I believe they asked him, was his mom a prostitute? And again, not ideal, but they asked him. That guy, I think it was Jeff Ireland from Miami Dolphins, he ended up apologizing. And it's easy for the media to rain down on him and cast shame. But let me ask you, do we ever go back in time and say, you know what? Damn, maybe the Dolphins were right to have concerns about that player. When Dez got to the Cowboys, it came out that the Cowboys implemented what's called Dez rules. You hear me now? They had Dez rules. Because this dude was so volatile, they had to put parameters in place to make sure he could get to the football field on Sunday safely. And let me read this. The Dez rules required Bryant to adhere to a midnight curfew. So hear me out. This is a grown-ass man making millions of dollars, and he needs a curfew. He's to refrain from attending any clubs, strip clubs, or parties, and he is not to drink alcohol. He was required to attend 2 counseling sessions per week for 1 year and was monitored by a 3-person security team that drove him to and from practices and team functions. Security cameras were also placed inside Dez Bryant's home to monitor comings and goings. And lastly, the agreement also stated Wells, which was Bryant's agent, must be aware of all visits to and from Eileen Nash, which was his girlfriend, and Angela Bryant. Yo, Dez Bryant needed supervised visits to see his mom. Imagine how out of control that boy's life is. And this is coming after he had a domestic dispute with his mother. He actually caught, I believe, an assault case against his mother. So, yes, on the front end, we bash the Dolphins for raising these questions and prying into this man's life. But as we get into Dez's professional career, it seems they had a right to be concerned. So, again, I got no problem with these prospects going through tough questions. Mama, daddy, sister, whatever, it should all be on the table. Yo, I want to switch gears for a second, talk about the NBA. Haven't really been paying attention to the NBA like I have in the past. Yo, basketball is my favorite sport, but the league, I felt, has taken a step back. But I did see something that caught my attention, and that was Steph Curry is going to be out for an extended period of time. No, we're not happy that Steph Curry's injured. Wish him a speedy recovery. But I am interested to see what a Kevin Durant-led Golden State Warriors team looks like. Yo, when Kevin Durant joined the Golden State Warriors, I thought that was the weakest move in professional sports history. Yo, you just switched sides and joined the team that just beat you in a 7-game series. Yo, all jokes aside, when you're talking about the hood, the inner city, whatever, if you switch sides like that, yo, that comes with heavy consequences. Right? So for him to go over there was weak. But yo, let's not get it twisted, man. When it comes to playing a game of basketball, when it comes to being in between those lines, KG's one of the best out. His skills is no denying there. Now, what he did away from the court, that's weak. That's great for guys that's on the mic like myself. But in between the lines, he's one of the realest. And I still don't think we've ever seen the best version of Kevin Durant that's out there. When he played in OKC, he played with Russell Westbrook. Yo, we love Russell Westbrook. He's fearless. He's tough. But he's not the guy that's going to maximize the talent around him. So you could say that KD played with handcuffs on. We saw a limited version of Kevin Durant. And even with those limitations, he was still one of the baddest men on the planet. He was still somebody that led the league in scoring year after year. He was still somebody that was able to earn an MVP trophy. I'm not even really big on stats, but I had to go look back at that finals performance he had in OKC versus the Miami Heat. Yo, the boys scored 30.6 points a game on 55% shooting. Yo, that's phenomenal. That's efficiency at his best. The ball didn't come his way as many times as it should have, but every time it did, he delivered. Yo, if you playing on my team and you shooting 55%, yo, we going to keep feeding you until those numbers go down. You're not going to walk away from the series shooting 55%. If you could score the ball at that higher clip, we just going to keep feeding you. But that wasn't the case in OKC because of Russell Westbrook and James Harden. So even with those limitations, he was still spectacular. Fast forward to him moving on to the Golden State Warriors. He's surrounded by a talented group. He's playing alongside Steph Curry, who is a two-time NBA MVP. He's playing alongside Klay Thompson, one of the greatest shooters in NBA history. He's playing alongside Andre Iguodala, a Finals MVP. So he just came in there to kind of just get along, fit in, be a part of the team. And he was still doing his thing. Still doing his thing. Just fitting and getting along led to them winning the NBA championship, him being named Finals MVP. And in that series, he scored 35 points a game on 55% shooting. And that's just him getting along, being a member of the team. So imagine if you have an athlete like that, somebody spectacular like that, you featured him. You released the handcuffs. You released the chains. I think that's the KD we about to see with Steph Curry out of the lineup. Shoot, we've seen it three games already. The game Steph Curry went down against the San Antonio Spurs, what KD score, 40? What'd he do the next night against the Blazers and the Wolves, 37, 39? Effortlessly. Now, they went 1-2 in those games, but that's okay. Two of those games were on the road tough. They were in there to the end. But I think we're about to see a special version of KD. And I don't think the Warriors are going to take a step back at all. Even without Steph Curry, I believe they're the best in the league. The best in the league. That's how far and beyond they are as a team. And that's how much of a mega talent I really think KD is. I think he's only scratched the surface. We talk about players that could give somebody 40. Yo, KD could average 40, son. If he was featured, if he played in some of these traditional offenses like what Anthony Davis is doing over at the Pelicans, the way LeBron is featured, the way James, man, I don't think we really know how spectacular that dude is. So they got my attention every night. And yo, don't talk to me about some Houston Rockets. Don't talk to me about the Houston Rockets. Their win streaks, they're nice, they're cute. But yo, we got to understand that regular season basketball is much different than playoff basketball. In the regular season, you got these athletes, they fly into a city one night, their mind is elsewhere, they thinking about the nightlife, they in this, another city the next night. Sometimes guys don't even know who they're playing. So a high-powered offense like the Rockets, they're going to blow the doors off of people in the regular season. Coaching staffs don't have the ability to hone in and focus on you. But, yo, in the playoffs, this is why we've seen James Harden and the Rockets falter. Because when you have a team's undivided attention, that's a different animal you're going up against. Let me say this. The reason why we don't see many upsets in the NBA is because seven games is a long damn time. A long damn time. You're not going to sneak up on somebody. Over seven games, the cream of the crop is going to rise. Always. The last NBA upset I seen was the Dallas Mavericks when they defeated the Miami Heat. I forget what year it was. With the LeBron James, D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Miami Heat. That was an upset. We don't see that too often. Because you can't fool somebody for seven games. One night, yeah. So the Rockets, James Harden has had many playoff failures, and I don't even think that's his fault. I think his style is more geared towards the regular season. Okay, boom, high-powered, fun, running, gun. Sometimes the other superstars resting. But in the playoffs, when dudes know what's coming, a 30-foot jump shot is not going to get it done. When dudes are playing you, dudes are waiting for your strength, they trying to play that against you, they strategizing specifically for those moves, a 30-foot jump shot is not going to get it done. And that's why last year, James Harden ended that series against the Spurs with 9 turnovers. The year before that, he was down on the floor looking for his mouthpiece against the Clippers. I don't even hold that against him. I think just his skills and that style of offense, it's cute for the regular season. But in seven games, nah, man. When you coming out of a timeout and everybody in the gym know that the ball is going your way, you can't just summon a 30-foot jump shot. You got to come with something else. That's when we seen Kobe and Mike get in the post. We seen different variations. The Rockets and James Harden only got one style of fight. They can't mix and match. They can't speed it up. They can't slow it down. They can't get a stop on demand. This offense they displaying is cute. It's like a circus. It's entertaining. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, it ain't enough. So, yeah, man, I haven't seen, even with the Steph Curry injury, I haven't seen anything that's going to make me go away from the Golden State Warriors winning the NBA championship. And when y'all see Kevin Durant doing 40 across the board until Steph Curry get back, remember where you heard it first. Yo, allow me to bring in a special guest, somebody who has made many appearances on this show before, but making his 12-ounce sports radio debut, my man from way back, Fent Boogie. Fenton, what up?
What's going on? What's going on? Shout out to 12-ounce for having me, man. I really appreciate it, but I'm a 40-ounce man myself, 12-ounce. What's going on?
Shout out to 12-ounce sports radio for having us. Fenton, I want you to weigh in on a few things I was discussing on my own. First and foremost, the New York Giants wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. found himself in a tough situation. Hotel with a model, some weed.
Allegedly.
Some coke.
Allegedly.
And pepperoni pizza.
You can confirm the pepperoni pizza. That was legit.
How did you experience that video? What do you make of that situation?
I was like, yo, Odell, training camp about to start. What are you doing eating pepperoni pizza, bro?
Yo, the pepperoni pizza was the only thing you had a problem.
I mean, it's training season. What you doing?
Right, no carbs.
No carbs, but nah, it was a crazy look, man. I don't see how as a professional athlete in this day and era could allow themselves to get caught out there like that in 2018. Who does that? I mean, Odell Beckham plays in New York. Everybody in New York knows about the legendary Derek Jeter. Never made it to Page Six. You know why? When you come in the door, you drop the cell phone. When you leave, you get the gift bag. That's it. Take notes, Beckham.
That's it, man. You got to take them young girls' cell phone, fam. You're right, man. Derek Jeter damn sure did lay the blueprint playing 20 years in the Big Apple.
Shout out to number two, man.
But in all seriousness, I see media personalities going off the hinge like, yo, this should be the last straw with Beckham. His antics, he seems to be more concerned with fashion, and now this. Do you think this should lead to Odell Beckham being shipped out of town?
Of course those people are going to say that because they're not owners of the New York Giants. The New York Giants had no comment on this story. You know why? Because Odell's going to be a Giant for life. But he's not going to get paid this year, I promise you that, because that's just a terrible look, man.
You think that video should affect his contract negotiations? Even though he's never failed a drug test, even though we don't even know what time that video was filmed, you think this is going to affect his contract negotiations?
I would like to think it won't, but realistically, I know it is, because if you're trying to fight the man a couple of years ago and giving him his money, now you have something to hold over his head. Like, look, We want to give you this money, but I need you to mature, Odell. I need you to take care of business off the field as well, because he's one of the top three wide receivers in the game. You can't tell me that man is not taking care of business on the field. It's just off the field that they're trying to throw in some shade, because they're going to have to pay that man a lot of money. If you follow the recent free agent signings, or sorry, the contract signings of the big-time wide receivers out there, the Houston Texans wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, he's a stud. $84 million in 5 years last year. This year, Mike Evans, he has issues too, but he got 5 years, $85 million. Odell Beckham was lining himself up to get the bag.
Yo, that was a costly pizza date.
Man, most expensive Domino's I've ever seen in my life.
Yo, it's a wrap. Special shout out to 12 Ounce Sports Radio for having us. First episode in the books. Catch us every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Hit me on Twitter at WBH Radio.